Lights, camera, action!
Yeah, oh, is that what it is? I can't remember. I thought it was the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Whatever. Cash, hey, welcome to the Month of Movies podcast in May 2016. I'm Scott.
Yeah, I'm Jason.
And we're going to talk about the month of movies that we saw in the May of 2016. Weird to mention that. I watched, a while back, I collected a collection of... Jesus Christ. I started a list of some of the scariest movies of all time.
You compiled a list.
Compiled a list of the scariest movies of all time.
And I am going through all a bunch of box sets of movies I bought. And, okay, so at the beginning of the year, I was like, I'm going to watch all these movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bought box sets.
Yeah, we sure did.
So my list of the movies I was going to watch changed because I realized I watched a box set this month that wasn't on my initial list because I bought this one.
Yeah.
For the Mega Media sale.
Yeah.
So like my list is going to change.
Sounds like it wasn't... always cracked up to me.
It was something.
Oh, yeah, and then also whatever else movies you watched during the month.
Yes.
I watched 10 this month.
I watched 8.
Okay.
And, like, all the ones that weren't on my list to watch?
Mm-hmm.
You saw.
Yeah.
Well, except the last movie I watched, but... yeah, my soda.
Chunk. I made a noise sound effect
speaking of RC Cola.
RC Cola, what have we been speaking of? This was a conversation before we started recording.
Yeah.
I asked what I said to RC Cola. We're talking about sodas. It's nothing.
This stuff makes you burp.
Yeah. It's royal.
And royal people said that if you burp to say that you enjoy something.
Yeah, because you inhale it so much.
But there's just so much carbon in that, that's why.
You inhale it so fast that you have so much air bubbles, that's why you burp. Because okay. I inhaled it.
So the box set, okay, so May had 5 weeks in it.
Yeah.
So I watched one box set and I started another.
5 Saturdays, right?
Right. Well, there's... Yeah.
I don't know.
However, I determined it was 5 movies this month. So I got a box set of 4 and then I started the next one, which I'll finish in June. But the box set I watched is called 4 Films Fantasy / Adventure Collector's Set. It says Hallmark right on it.
Hallmark Entertainment.
So I got it because it has the Poseidon Adventure, and that was a movie I've never seen, and I wanted to see it, so I picked this up, now realizing this was a made-for-TV remake.
Yeah.
Apparently, this whole box set was made-for-TV movies.
Yeah.
I like how you say box set. It's just 4 movies. It's 2 discs.
The Poseidon Adventure.
So, yeah, Poseidon Adventure was on here, but it's a made-for-TV remake. These were all made-for-TV Hallmark movies, and I didn't realize it at first. So I started watching and I'm like, this is a long freaking movie. Oh, they're all long movies because it was a mini series. It was multiple nights on TV. So each one's like 3 to 4 hours long. So it took me a long time to finish this box set.
Now I had a decent May.
Now I didn't even talk about the movie yet.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to?
No, you can go first.
Okay. The first movie I watched this month...
I was just explaining my box set.
Oh. The first movie I watched this month, I got... It was one of the ones I had to try out from the going out of business store. It's called Silent House. And I'm like...
Silent Hill?
No. This is just a house. It's
a house on the hill.
It actually wasn't even on a hill. But it was a horror movie, and it looked interesting. And it was on Blu-ray for dirt cheap, so I'm like, I'll check it out. Elizabeth Olsen, the talented Olsen daughter.
The one from Avengers?
The one from Avengers, yes. Scarlet Witch. So this movie, it claims to have a nonstop, constant shooting.
Oh, like, one shot?
One shot movie, but it's actually like 6, like, 10-minute long chunks put together, like edited together. Oh, okay. Without making it seem like it was a one continuous shot. But Scarlet Witch and her dad and uncle. They used to have this house that they used as their summer home, and they would like rent it out once in a while to people, but like, oh, it's, you know, we gotta sell it, so we're cleaning it out and shit. So she's like cleaning it out and like cleaning out her old bedroom and finding all this weird shit. But then suddenly she doesn't hear her dad anymore, and she's like, where's dad? So she's like looking around for him, like she can't find him anywhere, like where he was, and she's like hearing all these noises in the house, like something is wrong here. And it just kind of goes into this whole, like, thing where she's, like, ends up finding her dad, who's, like, just bloody and bashed up, and she's, like, freaking out, and eventually her uncle comes back, and, like, what the hell's going on? And she's, like, seeing people, like, in the house, and it gets pretty, it explains a lot of stuff in the last part of the movie, which is, obviously, it would be a spoiler, but, the movie as itself, it was decent, considering it was basically just a, hey, I'm a girl running through a house that's dark and being filmed. But, I mean, I thought it was pretty decent. It was good acting, even though people on IMDb message boards were like, all she did was, like, pant and whine. I'm like, yeah, if you're scared to death in a fucking house and you're a small, attractive girl, yeah, you're gonna be fucking terrified that, you know.
So it was like, a bunch of long shots. It wasn't like a found footage type thing, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It was just like, yeah, it was a bunch of like long shots. Like a person with a, must have had like a steady cam or something, just like wandering around and stuff, which considering that they had a lot of dark, there was a lot of darkness, you could actually see, the movie was pretty dark, but there were some spots that you could see pretty well considering the lack of light. And, but I mean, I watched in the dark too, so that kind of, you know, because, you know, like, movie sets, they have a whole fucking lights everywhere and stuff, so obviously they couldn't have that. But, I mean, it was decent. I gave it a 6.5. Like, the weird little, I don't want to say twist, because it makes it seem like it's a lot crazier than it is, but the explanation, I guess, of everything was not bad. I kind of, I don't know, yeah, it was all right. It was good.
What did you give it?
6.5, I said.
Oh.
Fucking pay attention, cat.
Yeah, just not even looking at us.
Yeah. All right.
So the first movie I watched in my fantasy adventure collection set Hallmark Entertainment was a movie called The Curse of King Tut's Tomb, or as the actual film called it, The Curse of King Tut. So the one on the disc was actually different than what it said, but I'm guessing it's the same movie.
That cover art, it just screams mid-2000, where everyone just like, hey, we can all make scary pictures.
But basically, the movie starts, and it shows the ancient times of King Tut, and he's battling a bunch of demons, and he's got golden wings, and he's flying around attacking demons.
Yeah, makes sense.
And he has this stone portal, and they get sucked up into it, so all the demons get sucked up into this portal, and King Tut gets sucked up into it, too. And then the portal stone breaks into four pieces, and somehow goes on four different parts of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes to, I don't want to say current times, because I think the movie took place in like, when did it supposed to take place? I think it took place during the 40s or something.
Oh, okay. I was just like,
like when they were doing a lot of the searching for tombs and stuff in Egypt. So this one guy, he's going around finding all the pieces, and he finds the movie after the beginning part, the movie starts with him chipping one of the pieces of the stone out of ice, and he's like, oh, I got the third piece, and this guy comes up behind him and steals it from him.
Oh.
And he's like, oh, he got that one too. It's like, wait, so this guy's been following and taking all the pieces, and he's like, I gotta find the fourth piece. I'm like, no, don't, because they can't find them. You're the one getting the pieces for them. But it turns out the fourth piece is hidden in King Tut's tomb, which seems like, why wouldn't that be the first place you looked?
Yeah, that's,
so the entire time they're looking for King Tut's tomb, and there's all these maps on saying where it is, but none of them are accurate. So they are like, oh, we gotta find, you know, so the main expedition guy is constantly hiring people to try to find the tomb, and then they don't find it, and then he's like, I can't pay these guys, and runs off. So he makes a lot of enemies. And there's this girl that works at a museum that he gets a crush on, and she knows a lot about ancient Egypt. So between him and her, they're like, we can figure this out and stuff. And apparently there's this crazy guy in the streets who just mumbles.
Oh, and like, he's going to become important later, yeah, isn't he?
He apparently tells them where the map is, like where the tomb is. And it's like, what? Okay. So they find the tomb and...
And by the way, 1922 is the year that...
Oh, okay.
I looked it up.
So then the first half of the movie ends with them finding the piece. And then the second half of the movie is the piece gets stolen by the bad guys.
Oh,
and
boy.
They form it, and then the demons come out, and there's a big fight scene. They go to the other world.
The demon world?
Yeah. They go into the demon world to try to save King Tut.
To try to save him? Because he's not... It's been not been too long already.
Apparently, it's like an afterlife or something, because he's alive.
Yeah, it's probably whatever the fucking... It's called shit.
But anyway, that's the basic premise of the movie, with giving everything away.
That sounds boring as shit.
It was actually kind of entertaining, because it was definitely trying to emulate Indiana Jones, because the main guy was a teacher, and he's like searching for, artifacts like the Ark. Ark of the Covenant. What is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Ark of the Covenant. Yeah,
just like Indiana Jones and stuff, and it was obviously trying to be like that, but the acting was so bad because it was a Hallmark movie.
I let you know,
it was so great. It was so bad. It was so good.
I looked it up on IMDb. Curse of the King Tut's Tomb.
Yeah,
was the one from 2005 or whatever the hell this is. There's also a made-for-TV movie in 1980 called the same thing, but. Sounds more like a generic Egyptian movie where they open it up to King Tut's thing and the people start mysteriously dying off. So it's not the same one. I was really hoping they did a remake for TV.
Where there's the demons and stuff.
Look at this.
It was bad, but it was entertaining. I gave it a 5.
Oof. Okay.
What? That's like one of the highest scores in this box set.
Oof. That's...
That was the best movie in the box set.
Now, the next movie I watched, everyone knows me, they know I like Stephen King.
What?
Yeah. So I bought this is my fault. I bought this movie, which I knew the short story, and I'm like, how do they make this short story
into a full movie?
A full-length film? Well...
The Mist?
No, by adding a bunch of stuff. Dolan's Cadillac...
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. The story, it was, I think, one of the first stories in Nightmares and Dreamscapes. It's about a guy. I'll tell you what the story's like, and then I'll tell you what the movie's like, and at least tell you the differences. So, Dolan's Cadillac, just by seeing the opening credits, you should have realized something's not right, because the amount of just the cast was way too many people. There's like 4 in the whole story.
I was going to say they really had one person.
But it's about a guy who's trying to get revenge. Because Dolan he's this guy who's like, he's a big shot, like, oh, hey, I got so much money, I do all this shit. I can't remember, I read it like 10 years ago. But he's like, ah, I'm being king shit of fuck mountain. And, but he gets in a car accident, I think a drunk driving possibly, and he hits and kills the main character's wife. And then he goes to court, gets off on it. Not gets off on it, but, like, gets off of the charges. He's like, hey, I'm a free man. I'm Dolan. I got money. He doesn't say it like that, but, you know, whatever. So then the main character's like, fuck him for getting away with this. I'm going to somehow get revenge on this guy. So what he does is he spends all this time planning revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And he always sees, like, Dolan, like, he travels all over the place. But he always, like, he has his Cadillac. So he ends up getting a job on road maintenance. And then over, like, Memorial Day weekend or 4th of July weekend or whatever, when they have the day off, there's, like, a 3 or 4 day weekend. So he single-handedly digs out a giant chunk of the highway and sets a trap for Dolan's Cadillac to drive into. So he can, when he drives into it, he can't get out and he buries him alive. Fucking fantastic revenge story. So this movie starts off with... these people smuggling immigrants over the Mexican border. Now, it turns out that Dolan is in the slave trade. And what happens in the movie is the main character... and Dolan in the movie is Christian Slater. and then the main character who is I can't remember what his name is, but he looks like he looks kind of like Tobey Maguire and Jake Gyllenhaal combined and had a sadder younger brother. But he played Wes Borland, I think his name is, but I don't know. No, or is that, yeah, he was Blackheart in the first Ghost Rider movie. That's the only reason why I know him. But anyways, his wife sees them, like, because something happened in the van where the air conditioning went bad and the back of a U-Haul truck, so a bunch of them died. So she watched him bury a bunch of the immigrants, and then they noticed her, so they chased her down. They went to the cops and stuff, like, hey, we saw all this stuff happening. Fucking, like, on, like, lockdown, and people are watching him, stuff like that. And she gets into her car, and it blows up. So it's like, oh, we gotta get him in court and stuff like this. And it's just, it's like all this shit that shouldn't be happening. Like, there's like the first hour of the movie didn't happen in the book at all. And then the last like 20 minutes are like, hey, this is finally what I'm gonna do. And he starts actually, like, it actually finally got into the part from the story. And it just wasn't as satisfying of an ending. I don't know, man. It's. Surprise! Oh, spoiler alert, he buries him anyway, like, he buries him in the movie, but, like, it's weird because, like, the whole time, I don't care about this movie, so spoiler, the whole time, like, he's like, hey, we gotta get back at him, we gotta, like, talking to his lawyer, we gotta get back at him, we gotta get him arrested and stuff like that, and he's like, well, he's hard to touch and stuff like that, felt the whole movie. Dolan is trying to find more fucking slave trade, and, like, what can we do, and eventually they start slave trading children. And but like right after he ends up like burying Dolan, the cop calls him like, "Hey, we busted him. We got him. We got all the evidence we need." And like, oh, so the movie kind of ends on a thing where like, well, he's dying, but he would have gone to prison. It just kind of like, it doesn't feel as satisfying.
Yeah,
I gave it a 5. I know I just told the whole movie in like 5 minutes, but
so the next one I watched in my box set was called Merlin's Apprentice. What?
I was just like, yeah, this. Well, I watched this.
It just seemed, I don't know how to respond to that. I didn't read it or.
Just seemed like a funny segue.
So, Merlin's Apprentice, which they use the font of Harry Potter.
Oh, so yeah.
Definitely trying to go off of that.
Or the Nicolas Cage movie.
The Sorcerer's Apprentice?
Yeah.
Yeah, Merlin's Apprentice, another made for TV, with Sam Neill as Merlin.
Jurassic Park fame.
Yeah. The movie starts where Merlin is at Camelot with King Arthur, and they're at the round table and stuff like that, and they're all like, oh, we got the Grail, yay, you know, we got the Holy Grail and stuff like that. And then Merlin's like, oh, that's just sitting in the back smiling, yeah, that's pretty good. And he falls asleep and wakes up, and now he has a beard that's really long because he was clean shaven before.
Oh, okay.
I guess. And he's like, huh, where am I? He's like wandering in a field. He's like, what? And he goes back to Camelot, and King Arthur's not there anymore. It's like well past. Like he walks and he sees like Lancelot's like tomb and stuff like that. And he's like, how long have I been asleep? And apparently he's been asleep for years. Rip Van Winkle or something like that. And he's like, oh. So then he goes into the town and he's like, where's that Grail that we got? And they're like, oh, it's not here, it's gone. And Camelot apparently is like falling apart, like there's no structure, there's no government or whatever. So he's like, oh, we gotta fix this. We gotta find the Grail. And they're like, okay, so they get like a bunch of people together to try to find the Grail. And this one kid who's a thief, he's like, I'm gonna steal stuff. So then he tries to like steal stuff from Merlin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and even though Merlin's not looking and didn't see him come in, he knows he's there.
He knows.
And they're like, oh, you're a thief, so you're quick with the hand. That means you could be a magician.
Oh.
You could be a wizard.
Technically, that, like,
so
you'd be quick with the hand to be an illusion.
Yeah.
It's not real magic.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, wait until I get to the magic part of this. Okay. So Merlin starts training this kid to use magic, a.k.a. the Force from Star Wars, because the magic he does is move things.
What?
With his mind. Like, he's like, I'm going to move this apple.
So magic is telekinesis?
Yeah. And then being able to tell people, I'm not the person you're looking for. Like, they do something like that. He goes to the one girl and he goes, you're in love with me now. And then she's like, I'm in love with you now. Like, it's like a complete ripoff of Star Wars magic. It's like, huh, this is dumb.
It's complete ripoff of Star Wars magic.
It is.
There are so many nerds that would hate you for saying that. Oh, it's just, Star Wars is just magic.
It is.
I know.
Star Wars is magic, according to this. Because this is what Merlin and the apprentice guy does. So, apparently, Camelot has been torn apart. There's, like, two different sides. There's conflict, like a Civil War type thing. And they got the people who, I don't know, I guess the Round Table of now. And then there's, like, people who worship the Lady of the Lake. Mm-hmm. So they're, like, forces, and, like, the Lady of the Lake is, like, the villain in this movie. She's got a, like, so they're, like, yeah, I don't know if I should, at the end of the first movie, there's a big fight scene at Camelot, and Merlin dies. So then he's the second half of the movie, he just shows up as a ghost, you know, like in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, Star Wars ghosts.
Star Wars magic. So then you find out, partially through the second movie, that the kid is Merlin's son, and
he must have had him sleeping.
Or? And the mom is the Lady of the Lake. So he's got the magic from both sides of the family.
So did they ever tell you why he slept for like 800 years or whatever? No?
Okay. Not that I caught. So then, like, the two sides are trying to get the Grail, and the worthy, only the worthy are whatever, you know,
able to lift the Mjolnir. Yeah.
So, like, yeah, that's the Merlin's Apprentice. It was pretty dumb.
Wow.
And they had the generic, like, this girl, it's like, I'm going to dress as a guy so I could be in the armed forces, you know? So, like, there's this.
Oh, Mulan.
Yeah. And then he falls in love with him, and then he's relieved that it's a woman.
Oh, typical, typical.
But it's just so funny because it's like, oh, he's a guy the whole time. And then, like, he realizes it's a woman, so then, like, there's a scene where he makes out with her, mm-hmm. and then people walk in, and they see it, and they're like, oh, you're a woman. So it's like, it's like, wait, the disguise is still there. They just, oh, he's making out with her, so she must be a woman. They saw through the disguise that easy. I gave this movie a 4.5.
Oof. The cover looks different. Oh, whatever. I was just looking at the picture on IMDb. Oh, it shows a lot of people.
Yeah, it just shows the two, just, three.
Oh, people. God, that is Sam Neill on the front.
Yeah, the looks guy
like,
in the beard.
Looks like a Hagrid type guy.
Yeah.
That guy looks like the guy from Lord of the Rings. And, yeah, that's pretty, you know. Typical, typical.
Yeah, if they said why he fell asleep, I didn't catch it.
Oh, one of the guys, one of the main guys is a fucking guy from 300 and Start. And whatever.
No, it says on this cover it just says Sam Neill and Miranda Richardson as the Lady of the Lake.
Oh, okay.
That's all they mention. But it's made for TV movies.
Speaking of made for TV, just kidding. This wasn't made for TV. But so far, this is the first movie I watched on my list for this month, and this one is so far the scariest one I've seen. And I don't mean to be mean, but we watched the movie Freaks. Now,
I'm sorry, I was just looking at the back, the rating of it. It's not rated, but there's violence, mild profanity, and it says Dove Family. I thought that was like, but Dove Family rated it.
Oh.
But I'm like, for Dove Families? What?
Yeah, they fucking hate birds.
Yeah, it's for only just 12 and up because it's violent, I guess.
Yeah, people dying. So anyways, we watched Freaks.
Yeah, I watched it too. That was my next movie.
Dear God.
I saw this a long time ago.
I have never seen this, and I feel like I'm going to hell just for being terrified of all the people in this movie. The whole, like, I don't, okay. There's not much to the story. There's a bunch, there's a traveling carnival.
Yeah, there's a traveling carnival.
And then there's, but there's a lot of the freaks, for lack of a better term, that.
So, yeah, there's a freak show, but they're cast with actual freak show people.
But basically, the gist of the movie is there's these two main characters that they look like children, but they're old. It's that whole, like, fucking weird disease.
Creepy.
Chirogenetic, whatever. But one of the ladies, a lot of people hate the freaks. They're like, ah, fuck them, they're dumb. But this lady thinks it's funny to seduce the little dude guy.
Yeah.
And but the two little ones are engaged to each other because like
we love each other.
It's fucking terrifying.
I love the picture on the cover.
So
just holding the big goblet.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. So the story of the movie is the lady seduces the little guy just because she thinks it's funny, and then the little girl gets sad.
Yeah, she starts seducing him because she finds out that he has a lot of money.
Yeah.
So she wants his money.
Yeah.
And then she, like, cheats on him behind his back and stuff.
Yeah, and then they get married, and then the little dude finds out that it was all a ruse just for the money. And then they go to some carnival revenge.
It's creepy.
That is,
But anyway, to rewind a little bit back.
Yeah.
When they got married, like, there's a scene where they're all around a table.
Yeah, the most infamous scene.
Yeah, the scene that everyone remembers, like, one of us, you're one of us. And
Google
like,
gobble, Google gobble.
Yeah, so they're like, all the freaks have this giant goblet of wine that they go around and everyone's taking sips of it. And she freaks out because she doesn't want to be considered a freak.
Yeah.
So they're all like, you're one of us, you're one of us. She's like, no, no, and then leaves.
She also at one point puts her husband, the little dude, on her shoulders and is running around like she's giving him a piggyback ride.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking A, man. There's people, there's adults that look like little children. There's a guy that has no arms or legs and he like just fucking rolls around on his belly.
Yeah, there's a whole scene where he's lighting a cigarette.
He lights a cigarette with his mouth. There's a lady with no arms, so she just uses her feet and everything. There's the generic half woman, half man.
You mean she has no legs, so she uses her arms?
No, she has no arms. Oh. The dude, the guy has no lower half.
Oh yeah,
and he walks around because she like hits her knife on the table with her fucking foot.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's a problem too. Every blonde haired woman in this movie looks the same. Even the fucking freak. I didn't mean to make that sound mean, but even the freak character looked like the fucking villain and the fucking hero lady. They all looked the same. They all had the same haircuts. They all look the same to me.
But Scott loved, there's a scene where they're all the small people and the guy without legs and arms and stuff are all crawling around in the rain with knives.
The revenge scene, all of them have knives and like, and
they're crawling under
in the mud.
They're crawling the under wagons.
Holy shit, man. I mean, the guy with no arms or legs, I don't know how he's going to use the knife well, but he'd probably figure out how because he does that. But everyone's just like, there's
just they're rolling around on the ground with a knife in his mouth.
That I think I just sat there with my mouth open for 5 minutes straight, just like, I don't know how I would handle this in real life.
That is literally a scene out of a nightmare.
It is. It I'm like, I don't know how. I haven't had a nightmare since because I don't think anything could top that. But it was entertaining, even though I didn't understand, I think, half the things little dudes said.
Well, yeah, because
like, and she's like, yes, I know we're here together. I'm like, how did you fucking hear what he said? Because the movie's from 1932. It's like 90, almost 90 years old. 86, whatever. 86 years old. So it's got some audio issues, obviously. But I still thought it was pretty good, even though it took a little to get into it. Overall, that a lot of those scenes stuck with me. I gave it, and then the fucking like the pinhead girls.
Yeah.
Holy shit! Like, I mean, I don't want to. Oh god, I don't want to have kids because I know like karma or something will smite me just for my reaction to this movie. But I gave it a 7.5.
Yeah, I gave it a 7. I've seen it before, but I decided to rate it anyway because I haven't rated it since we started this podcast.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I saw it in college. Because I always heard the one of us, one of us. Mm-hmm. Like, I gotta see this. Because the pinhead girls.
Yeah.
Which were actually three of them, and I thought there was only two. But
well, someone could talk more better than the others.
Yeah.
As I said, more better.
The next movie I saw, you also saw.
Yeah.
What We Do in the Shadows.
That's what I have.
Oh, yeah, because it was like the next day.
Yeah. What We Do in the Shadows.
So, half the crew from Flight of the Conchords.
Two-thirds. Not half, you're right.
Yeah.
Two-fifths. I don't know. Two-eighths.
Just, I would say half. Half the people who made the show Flight of the Conchords made this comedy horror movie about vampires. called What We Do in the Shadows. Right? That's what it's called?
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah. That's what I wrote down.
That's what I have written down.
I hope it was right. You can explain this.
Okay. It's like a mockumentary type movie they made in New Zealand.
They hire a documentary crew, even though this is supposed to be secret.
Yeah, there's like a secret society type thing. Of every year they have a get together at the I don't remember what it's called. But it was like a secret society type thing where all the vampires and creatures and stuff that get together and they just have a get together, you know, type thing. So we see like the three main vampires in the house. Nope. Four main vampires in the house.
It's just the old guy.
I forgot that the two of the guys, because I'm like Jermaine from Flight of the Conchords, the old Nosferatu guy, and then the main character. But I forgot that there's another character, the guy who's like the cool one. I forgot about him, because the main character and him look the same to me. But they like, oh, so this is like, it's basically just the documentary crew walking around, showing them like what it's like to be a vampire and stuff like that, and all that stuff. And as we're getting ready for the event. But then they end up, they're showing all sorts. I mean, there's a lot of jokes and a lot of really funny parts in the movie, I thought, at least, like, watching it. But they actually end up, as they're showing, like, what they do, explaining, like, oh, yeah, this is, you know, how we can control people's minds and stuff like that. And, like, you know, just like, oh, look at, you eat the spaghetti. Oh, why are you eating worms? And, like, oh, I'm eating worms. And, like, haha, we're having a joke. But they end up turning one of the guys into a vampire, and they're like, oh, he's kind of a dick, but then he has a friend that's really cool, a human friend, and so, but yeah, it's more fun. Like, that's basically the premise of it.
Yeah.
It's fun just to watch because obviously a lot more stuff goes on, but. It's very segmented.
He's like, oh, they get the spaghetti and they tell him it's worms. And he's eating french fries. Oh, those chips, they're worms. No, no, they're not.
It only works for spaghetti. Yeah. More things that look like worms. But I thought, yeah, like Rhys Darby, the guy who plays Murray in Flight of the Conchords, and then Jermaine. They're in some. I mean, there's a whole bunch of actors, but those are the two from Flight of the Conchords. But it's
I want to say it's probably, in my opinion, one of the better mockumentaries in a long time. Ever since The Office, like, everything's trying to emulate that, it seems. And this actually, like, worked.
Mm-hmm.
And, I love the party scene. They're like, why is there a film crew here?
Yes.
They're not vampires.
Well, like, well, I think...
No, they're like, this should get out. It's a secret society.
One of the things I think, though, that I really like about it is that, like, Flight of the Conchords, everyone's just kind of like, yeah, I'm serious. They're like, there's serious, like, Brett and Jermaine are like, this is what's happening. This is what we're doing. And it's just, it's ridiculous. So you're like, that's why it's funny, because they're seeing with such a straight face. So these people are like, this is their life. This is what happens. And it's like, it's funny because they're saying it so real. We're like, on The Office, people are trying to be funny. Yeah. We're like, yeah, like, you know, Michael Scott and so that or whatever, but like,
they always cut to the interviews for the joke.
Yeah, but like this was like actual pretty. I don't know. I thought it was really funny. I liked it. I gave it an 8.
You gave it a 7.5. It seems like all mine are like a 0.5 lower than you.
Yeah.
Well, this next one might not be. next one I watched was Deadpool.
Oh, geez, that was way down for me. You can talk about it though, since you mentioned it.
I watched Deadpool. Because everyone kept talking about it for a long time and saying how great it was, and I had no real urge to see it because, one, I'm not a huge fan of Deadpool comic books.
Mm-hmm.
I've read a bunch just to see what the hubbub is about, and I understand how some people could like it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a stupid book, but it's just not my cup of tea, so I figured the movie would be in that same ballpark.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to, like, go out to the theater and watch a movie that I would think is okay.
Especially with Deadpool fans.
Yeah. Or just be over the top and I can't stand it, because some Deadpool fans are way over the top and I cannot stand them. So I was afraid that this movie was going to be like that. So I ended up borrowing it from a coworker. Thanks, Emily. for lending me the DVD, even though you're not going to listen to this podcast. But
Emily's,
I want to give her props for lending it to me, even though, like, a week after it came out, and I'm still holding on to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's like, oh, I'll get it, like, you know, June 4th or 5th or something like that. And I'm like, okay. Because that's the next time she's up here.
It's a couple days from now.
So, the basic premise of Deadpool is that he was a character who had a ton of cancer, so he's doing an experimental treatment to cure his cancers that's, like, all over his body. And in return, he gets, like, he heals himself.
Yeah.
And he gets a job as a assassin or something?
Well, he was a mercenary.
Mercenary.
With
the mouth.
Yeah, he was a mercenary, but then, like, for a while there, he was doing, like, just small little jobs just to help people out, like the girl at the beginning with the stalker and whatnot.
Yeah. So the movie follows that character as, you know, it jumps back and forth between his origin story and then, like, what they consider current time. And he's played by Ryan Reynolds, and he's a character who breaks the fourth wall a lot. So a lot of the jokes that are funny are because of that, or his rude humor.
If it wasn't for Ryan Reynolds, I think this movie wouldn't have been as good as it was.
Right, right. He was the perfect cast for it. Because everyone thinks of him as a serious actor, but he...
Reynolds?
Well, I'm just saying, like, as a hunk and, you know, all this stuff. And, like, they don't think of him as, like, this hugely comedic guy, but that's where he got his start.
I was going to say, like...
Van Wilder.
I was gonna say, one of his big movies was Van Wilder.
But, I don't know. I think there's a lot of people who didn't think he would be funny enough.
Really?
For Deadpool, yeah. That was a lot of the people's concerns, I thought, with it. But when it came out and they saw the trailer, they're like, oh, he is hilarious. There was a couple times I did laugh out loud. None of the jokes that happened made me mad, so that's good. Because I know there's some humor stuff. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And I didn't say that once in the movie, so that's good. The plot itself is very generic.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he gets his powers and then the villain kidnaps his girlfriend, like... is very generic plot. Like, yeah. There was... And then, like, his origin story on top of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, it wasn't...
Like, yeah, like I said...
But someone I was talking to, they said they think they did that on purpose as a joke, like, because it's Deadpool, and they're like, hey, let's have it the most generic thing possible and make it entertaining. So I'm like, I don't know, maybe...
Like a whole meta thing, like, hey, let's see how... Yeah.
But, I mean, it's owned by Fox Studios, so it's not Marvel... so that it's not in the whole universe with the Avengers and stuff like that. And they had a couple jokes and cracks at the X-Men movies, which were kind of funny. And I know the end scene, the big ship is supposed to represent the helicarrier, but they can't use a helicarrier because it's Marvel property.
Oh, really?
So that was their little, hey, see, we can get away with doing something like a helicarrier without having a helicarrier.
Just a ship that was up on cranes.
It's just a ship with giant turbines facing up. It's, like, pretty damn close, because a lot of people are like, holy crap, that's a helicarrier. No, it's not. I don't know. I thought it was entertaining. It wasn't amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I smiled a few times while watching it. I didn't laugh out loud.
Yeah, I laughed out loud a couple times.
But, yeah, I felt... The problem I have with, like, when they break the fourth wall is there's... I was actually thinking about this, like, today. I'm like, there's some points... I'm not a huge fan of breaking fourth wall in things, but there's some points that it works very well if you know how to do it right, because, like, Wayne's World, that's a perfect way to, like, do fourth wall, like, that it didn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, it just...
I think they did a decent job of breaking the fourth wall in this, like... Well,
the problem I have, though, is when they, I guess the fourth wall that is broken that I don't like is when they refer to whatever they're in as the fact that they know that they're in it. Like,
oh, so when he's in a movie.
Yeah, so when he's like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, he mentions something. He's like, ah, yeah, it's on the next page of the script. I'm like, ugh, yes, you just fucking pull us out, like, near your lung.
Yeah.
This isn't real. This is a fucking movie.
Well, like, see, like, the thing where he's like, you know, the movie's happening, and then it gets to the point where... We already saw from that point. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you already saw that part. That part I thought was kind of funny. That was a good...
Also, that's more of a narration type thing.
Oh, that's true.
You know, but, I mean, there's one part in the movie that I really liked when he was like, it's like, yeah, now should I do this? And I'm going to go kick that guy's ass. And he's like, you know I can hear you, right? Because that's like something totally right out of the comic books.
Yeah,
thing. Like, I mean,
exactly.
It had its moments, but...
And then the whole, like, I liked the rip on the X-Men where, like, you can't afford more than two people.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff.
I did really enjoy the female parts in this movie. Like, yeah. like the girlfriend. The X-Men and then the villain mm-hmm. lady. Like, I don't know why, I just really... They did... Some of them were pretty... It felt like they were just there to be a female, though. Like, because they don't talk much at all.
Yeah.
But they still had some really, like, the girl just, like, fucking with the fire, like, the powers, just, I don't know.
She had the wardrobe malfunction, it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, you gotta,
Yeah.
But I gave it 7.5.
I gave it 6.5.
Yeah, it was good. I probably won't watch it again.
No.
But
it's, I mean, it's still better than Ghost Rider, which is my favorite character.
Yeah.
So, there you go, Deadpool fans, your fucking movie's better than my favorite comic book character. You ready? And, yeah. Fucking Venom, Spawn, Ghost Rider, your movies.
Hopefully they eventually do a good Venom movie.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Or at least, like, a Carnage movie.
The next movie that I watched was actually the second one on my list for the month, When a Stranger Calls. I know of this movie because, like, 10 years ago or 8 years ago, whatever, they remade it. But it's about a woman...
Yeah, the remake was Selma Hayek. Not Selma Hayek, Selma Blair.
Was it?
I want to say it was Selma
Blair. I just remember it was like a... Yeah, it was like a dark-haired girl, I remember. I thought she was too young. No, I don't know. Maybe it was like...
Talk about the movie, yeah. So... I'll look it up.
So it's about a girl who is babysitting some kids, and then every once in a while, the phone will ring and be like, "Have you checked on the children?" And she'll be like, "Oh, who is this?" Because it was the girl from Twin Peaks. She's like, "Oh, leave me alone." And she hangs up, and a little while later, it's like, "Bring, have you checked on the children? You should check on the children."
I was wrong. It is not Selma Blair at all.
Yeah, I was saying, I think it's like some young girl. But so she keeps getting this phone call, like this menacing phone call, like, "Hey, go check. Why aren't you checking on the children?" And she starts getting freaked out. She calls the cops and like, "Oh, can you check on this, all this stuff with that?" And then they end up calling back and be like, "Oh, the phone call's coming from inside the house."
Kind of looks like Selma Blair.
Yeah, kind of. But they're like, "Oh, the phone call's coming from inside the house." And it's like, whoa! That's all I knew about the movie. And I'm like, this is going to be a boring movie because that's all I know about it. That happens in the first 20 minutes. And I'm like, this is an hour and a half long movie. Shit's going to hit the fan, right? But the creepiest part was I didn't realize that the guy who was upstairs the whole time, he had snuck into the house, killed the children, Jesus. And just stood up there all night waiting for her to check on the children to kill her.
Jesus.
So it's like when she called the cops and the cops came, they're like, "Yeah, the kid's been dead for a while." And I'm like, "Holy fuck, that's terrifying." But then, so that goes on, and like 7 years pass. And the guy ends up breaking out of the mental institution and, like, runs off, and the cops are trying to track him down. Well, the policeman that was in charge of the case, like, when he came to the door 7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
he's not a cop anymore, and he's, like, a private eye type thing. So he's, like, trying to track down the guy, like, trying to find him. So he's like, "This guy's bad. He's bad news. I gotta find him." So it ends up leading to about an hour of him just trying to find the killer, which was, like, a little bit of a letdown. And in the last 10 minutes, you meet the girl from the beginning again, where she is with her life, where she's like, I'm married and had kids and stuff like that. So then she, like, at one point, she's at the end, like, they're going out for dinner, and then the phone calls, is like, "Have you checked on the children?" She's like, fuck, get... And, like, the last 10 minutes are pretty exciting, but, overall, I was a little sad that majority of it was like this overweight ex-cop just running around trying it's to like find
the best
this.
Part is the small scenes at the beginning.
Yeah, trying to find this British guy who's like fucking nuts. He's just straight up nuts.
Nuts.
But I gave it a 6. Yeah, I gave it a 6. And then also since I borrowed this DVD from Jacob and Anna Papalum, I don't know how to pronounce their name, and it was a 2-pack, mm-hmm. So I'm like, I never heard of this movie, so I'm going to check this out. It was called Happy Birthday to Me. I'm like, I'll check it out since it's on this DVD.
It's on the same one as Stranger Calls?
Is it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Another like 80s, early 80s type horror movie slasher, where this girl, she is like part of the A squad in like high school and stuff like that. She's like, oh, we're the popular kids, blah, 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 this. And it's like almost her 18th birthday. But then suddenly a bunch of the kids, like every once in a while, like one kid like die some weird way, another kid would die some other weird way, and all this other stuff like that. And you're like, who's doing it? Trying to figure out who's doing it, who's gonna die next, and you know, like what's happening. But the whole time, you find out that like you're like finding bits and pieces of her past as it's going on, because she like, yeah, like she got into an accident when she was like a year prior, so she like she doesn't have a lot of memories from like before, like her head's all fucked up. But every once in a while like something will happen and she'll like just remember, she'll start remembering more and more things from the past year, so like you know that her mind isn't all there. So like, and then it gets to a point where she's thinking, am I killing these people? And like that's kind of a cool twist. But then like it's not so bad, like it's a pretty decent generic movie. But then, like, the last 10 minutes are really fucking weird and cool. But then the last 5 minutes of those 10 minutes, they tried doing another twist, which just kind of, like, pooped itself. So it was overall, it was a pretty decent slasher. Like, the end part kind of really made me go, whoa, that's fucked up. So I gave it a 7. I actually liked it more than When a Stranger Calls, but that was a happy birthday to me.
So as I was mentioning, this box set I watched has the Poseidon Adventure, and it was the made-for-TV one, which was pretty bad. Steve Guttenberg is in it.
Oof.
Adam Baldwin. I don't even know what he looks like.
He plays Jane on Firefly.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't look like a Baldwin.
Okay.
I don't think he's related to the Baldwins.
But anyway, this is a movie about a cruise ship that flips upside down. That's pretty much the premise of the movie. Okay. I think he's the captain.
Probably.
So there's, I don't know, so there's like a bomb that goes off.
What?
The propeller or whatever is stops and the thing flips and it's like completely upside down. And the most of the movie is them trying to figure out a way off the boat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a giant cruise ship, so they got to go toward the surface, which is the bottom of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And the boat is slowly filling up with water.
Yeah.
So, like, most of the people are in the ballroom because it's a luxury cruise.
Yeah.
So there's the most room there.
But the big top view window.
That's not in here.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Okay. Well, the problem is I never saw the original, the Poseidon Adventure, but I did see the remake, like, a year after this was made, called Poseidon, which, it's the thing is, in the original movie and then the remake movie, it's like a rogue wave that tips it over. And
there's
terrorists.
Yeah, there's terrorists that blowing it up for some reason. I don't know if I missed it, why they wanted to, but the ocean, the luxury ship thought something might happen like this, so they got like agents on the ship.
What the fuck?
Yeah. But anyway, like Steve Guttenberg, he's there with his wife and family and stuff like that. But his wife is constantly working, so then he ends up cheating on her with this one lady that's on the boat.
Wait, she's constantly working on the boat?
No, she's doing her job on the boat.
Oh, instead, okay.
Of taking it as a vacation.
Okay.
So he runs off with this girl and has sex with her. And then the kids are separated from him, and he's trying to get back to his kids.
Oh, boy, of course.
And there's this old lady on the ship who is the most annoying character in the whole world. Because apparently her husband died like a year ago. So everything's like, he said that I should do this. Da 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 da. Just like constantly bringing up how her husband's dead. And how her husband wanted to do this. And how her husband this. And how her husband this. I'm just so glad when she fucking died. But the movie itself was so bad. It was like, it didn't even feel like the boat was upside down. It's like they would have like a few things here and there that were upside down. You're like, oh yeah, that's right, the boat's upside down. Otherwise it just felt like they're walking through a boat that was full of water. Like there was one scene when it flipped that the kids hid under the table. And the tables are all bolted down because it's a ship, otherwise it would slide everywhere.
Yeah.
So then when the boat's upside down, now they're on top of under a table on the ceiling and they have to get down.
Fucking kids.
That was kind of funny. And I was like, they're like, oh, there's two kids. One's the main character, one's not. And they're like, we'll pull these curtains and they'll jump and it'll be safe. And the main character girl's like, no, I'm not gonna do that. And they're like, hey, other girl, you try and do it. And show how easy it is. I'm like, that kid's gonna die. And they didn't. Because there's a lot of people who died in this movie. Well, yeah. And I was just like, that's a long fall. They gotta get that really tight, otherwise that kid's dead.
I just think this is funny. There's a lot of people who died. That's why they called it an adventure.
Yep, that's why it's an adventure.
Yay!
So then, yeah, by the end of the movie, they get to the bottom of the boat, which there's no access points, so they had to like cut a hole in it because it's the bottom of a boat. Like, how do you get out of a bottom of a boat?
How are they just able to cut a hole in a boat?
They use like from the outside. They like the government came because they had agents, so they knew that the boat was in trouble and stuff. So they like cut the whatever with metal cutters or something, like lasers or heat, you know, like yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
It seems like you're just storyboarding, like lasers, heat, cutters, you know, cut.
Yeah, sorry, just do that. But yeah, it was pretty bad. I gave it a 4.5.
I think in the remake, Richard Dreyfuss is in it.
See, Richard Dreyfuss is amazing.
But he's old as shit in the movie. But
see the captain?
No, I think he's just an old guy. I don't remember.
He's like,
I
watched wife died. Just like a mirror image.
My wife is on a different boat right now. No, I remember I think they end up leaving through like a like the engine, like.
Because
they stopped moving, so because remember like the pressure and door flew and hit him in the face. I don't know.
Yeah, there was like explosions and fire and stuff too. So there's not just water; there was fire.
Yeah. The next one I watched, you were there with me too.
Captain America.
Captain America 3: Civil War. Now,
that was a long movie.
It was a long movie, but to me, it felt very fast. Captain America. We watched 2 years ago The Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So this is like a continuation of Winter Soldier because Captain America's former sidekick, Bucky, he ended up like becoming this Winter Soldier where they would use him as an assassin during the Cold War and stuff like that. And so this movie starts with this attack on, fuck man, I can't remember what happened at the very beginning of this movie. There's this big fight, and it was
in like, another country.
Yes, I was thinking of a different part of the movie. There's this big fight, and end up there's a lot of
they were stealing
vibranium.
No, they were stealing bioweapons.
Yeah. But biological weapons. But they're during a fight. There's an explosion and it caused a lot of civilian casualties. Which the government's like, all right, here's the deal. We need to start locking you guys down.
Because they were trying to help.
Yeah.
But the country didn't ask for help.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of civilians died. And they're like, we didn't ask for your help.
Yeah.
You just came here and said you're gonna help us.
Yeah.
And so, because of that, a lot of people do.
Yeah, so the like, government's like, all
right. So the UN, it's not just the government, it's the UN.
Yeah, the UN's like, we need to lock you guys down. We'll tell you when we need you type thing. And of course, Captain America's like, no, I don't want that to happen because, like,
I don't want people to tell me when and when I can't help people.
But then during one of the UN summit, somebody blows up a portion. I don't want to say too much because there's so much stuff in this movie.
Yeah, there was a truck that blew up near the UN,
causing damage.
I think killing
a couple people. Yeah.
So then there's surveillance tape that looks like it was Bucky that planted the bomb.
Yeah.
So now there's a manhunt for Bucky, and Captain America's like, he wouldn't have done this.
I'm on his side. And then Tony Stark's like,
he did do this. We have to stop him.
Yeah.
And then now they're split.
So then, half the heroes are like, we need to work on this UN thing. Other heroes are like, no, we need to do what we think is right. Like I said, there's a lot of things.
They're bringing in a lot of the characters from the other movies.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of characters that weren't in it. Like, Thor and Hulk weren't in it.
Yeah.
But they brought in Ant-Man, because that was most recent. And then Spider-Man was new because the new Spider-Man movies hasn't even come out yet.
And they brought in the new character, Black Panther, which was fucking awesome.
Yeah, his costume was pretty sweet.
His costume was great. His powers are awesome. Fucking man, I can't wait for his movie. But yeah, it's like I said, reading as a Marvel comic book reader, it had a lot of really fucking cool things in it that, like, nice little things here and there. I'm like, oh, that's that, and that's that, and stuff. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed it a lot. The Spider-Man was exactly how I thought he should have looked like, how he sounded like, his, like, little quips and jokes for how young he was. I'm like, this is finally Spider-Man. Fuck Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. This is finally Spider-Man. God damn it. He was just so unsure of himself. And, hey, am I supposed to be doing this? Just fight.
Apparently, I was reading something that character has only been Spider-Man for like 6 months, if not less. So he's like newly Spider-Man.
Yeah, because his outfit that he had was just just garbage. And Tony's like, I'm building you a new one.
I'm getting you a new one. You'll be on my side.
But yeah, it was like a 2.5 hour long movie, and to me, I'm like, we're at the end already. It flew by like that for me at least.
Yeah, there was, I don't know, as far as plot goes, there was just a lot of fighting.
Yeah,
there was a bit of plot sprinkled here and there, and then at the end, you're like, holy shit! But there was just a lot of fighting, a lot of characters.
Mm-hmm.
The airport fight scene was gigantic. The
airport fight scene was so... It was... Like, that was for my inner child, of just, like, dancing with glee. Of just, like, just watching. That was how a superhero fight...
Yeah.
...needed to be for so long.
Yeah.
Like, god damn it.
It's like you get half of that in the Avengers.
Yes.
Just fighting randoms, but then now you have team on team.
Because they can't just fight them and then be done. Like, this has to be... They have to exchange blows for a while, and it's just... Oh, God.
Yeah, who's gonna cave, and... Yeah.
Hey, remember that really old movie? God damn it. Wasn't that long ago? But I gave it... This is might be one of my highest scores. A 9.5.
Oh, jeez. I gave it an 8.5.
I liked it.
I'll have to give it a second watch to see if it holds up.
I thought it was better than Winter Soldier, for sure.
See, I don't know. I loved Winter Soldier. I watched Winter Soldier, like, before this one, just to get ready.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot how amazing Winter Soldier was.
I was talking to a couple of people from Comedy City, and John Negan was like, he said, when Bucky does, like, flips the motorcycle around... Just flips it around. He's like, that was worth the price of admission right there.
It was an amazing scene.
Yeah, that's the whole highway scene was just how many more you have left?
I got two.
Me too.
Okay, the next movie wraps up my fantasy adventure collection set, Hallmark Entertainment. It is Blackbeard the Pirate.
So you had a magician, you had a mummy, you had a boat, and you had a pirate.
Yeah.
All right, then.
There's a variety.
Sure is.
In this movie... Okay, I watched it, and by the time I got done, I'm like, what did I just watch? Like, it was just pirates fighting, and, like... I don't remember if there was a plot, because they're on a boat. They're on a boat, and they're pirates, so they, like, oh, there's another boat. And they fucking, you know...
Yeah, like pirates.
They go onto the other boat, fight it, and, like, take the shit and what are you doing, cat? And then, like, I was just like, oh, and they're like, oh, yeah, Blackbeard's a bad pirate, blah, blah, blah. But then there was other pirates, too, and I couldn't remember who was on which boat, and then, like, there was just, like, pillaging from each other, and I was like, and the next thing you know, it's done, and I was like, did I miss something? Because this was boring. I mean, like, it was kind of cool, but I'm trying to remember the one guy, he was so familiar.
Well, the main guy was, like, in, I already forgot.
Jesus.
Oh, Jessica Chastain is in it. She was Zero Dark Thirty and Mama. Stacy Keach was it? Keach? Him? This guy?
The old guy? Yeah, him.
He was on Titan. I remember that. He was on Titan, the show.
Oh, yeah. Because he was on Crowded. I know that. But I knew him from something else, too. But
yeah.
Yeah, that guy, he was funny because he's like got an eye patch and he's got long hair. It's kind of weird.
He was on apparently American History X.
And then the guy who played Blackbeard, I kept thinking it was Nick Frost, but it's not. He kind of looks like Nick Frost. But yeah, that one wasn't that great of a movie. I don't know what else to say. It's Pirates.
Yeah.
It's not Pirates of the Caribbean, which had a plot. This probably had a plot. I just was not into it, so I couldn't remember.
Let me tell you what the...
Because this says, in the golden age of piracy, Blackbeard stood out as the most fearsome and notorious seafarer of them all. This is an epic, true story of the pirate who terrorized the seas and became a legend. That's all.
IMDb is almost the exact same thing. In the golden age of piracy at the dawn of the 18th century, Blackbeard stood out among the lawless rogues as the most fearsome and notorious seafarer of them all. He killed for the reputation and his reputation has become legend. Now, for the first time, comes the true story of Prince Pirate Edward Teach, the man who terrorizes the sea.
There wasn't a plot, it was just his story.
He's like, hey, I'm a pirate.
Because if it's, you know what I mean, like, it's just, oh, this is the kind of person he was.
Yeah.
So,
that there you go.
It's their story.
It's a story and character.
I gave it a 4.
Yeah. Next story I watched was the third one on my list for this month. I watched the remake on accident a couple months ago, Cat People. This is the original version from, the 60s. I don't remember. They kept a lot of the same stuff in the remake, sort of. A woman is from a different country, and a guy's like, hey, you look pretty. Let me talk to you. And she's like, yeah, I like watching the Panthers. I like watching the Cats. You know, all that stuff.
Singing the football team.
Oh, yeah.
I like watching the Panthers.
There's like a Panther there. And she's like, I like watching the Cats. And he's like, oh, let's date. So they start dating. And she's like, oh, I have these stories back in my country where the cats would come and stuff like that. And this is very important stuff. And he's like, oh, okay, whatever. But she keeps having all these, like, bad dreams, and she's always worried that she's a bad person, and animals are afraid of her. And of course, you guess what? You find out she's a cat person. Just like the title says, just like the remake said. Except this one, it's not if you have sex with somebody you turn into a cat. It's just if you become jealous of someone.
The opposite of sex.
Yeah, and at one point, her husband is like, oh, look at you. He's like, oh, she's crazy. I don't love her anymore. I love you instead. And it's just like, oh, okay. And then the cat's like, ah, fuck you. But yeah, it's the end part is fantastic because apparently she, spoiler if everyone cares, but she opens up the cage to let the panther out. And it's a quick, like, the cat jumps. And, like, she just kind of falls down, and she died from the panther attacking her. Don't know how that happened. Like, it looked like if you threw a basketball and it bounced off your shoulder, the panther was jumping out, clearly not very close to her, but she falls over.
They didn't want to fucking actually kill the actress.
Yeah, but, or at least pretend. So it's like she just falls over, and then that's it. And you're like, oh, she's dead. And then she turned into a cat. I gave it a 6. It was
the way you're describing it, I thought it was gonna be lower.
No, I mean it had that like that nice feel, like that weird feel where it was like it felt fun to watch. But it was definitely better than the other one. the remake, which I don't remember if I gave the first one, so I hope it's more. It's less than a 6. So I give this a 6.
Yeah, I think it was less than a 6.
But there's weird, because like, there's like two scenes that the remake did exactly, almost, not exactly, but pretty close to the same,
mm-hmm.
is where the woman woman is swimming in a pool, and then the panther's like, aha, I'm fucking around with you while you're in the pool. Yeah.
So, the last movie I watched was Get Hard.
You pointed it and looked at me like, this one.
This one, Get Hard. So I have HBO Go or Now or whatever now. It's called. And I was like, I'm going to watch a movie on here. And then there was this Will Ferrell movie, Get Hard. So to set the stage, Kevin
James?
Hart. Oh. Kevin James is Paul Blart.
Paul Blart, Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart is the wannabe Chris Tucker. He's a little black guy who screams. And it's him and Will Ferrell. And I'm not a huge fan of Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
He is annoying. But he was decent in this movie. Maybe it's him as a person I don't like. Maybe maybe him as an actor I can stand. But whenever I see him on stuff, like doing interviews and stuff, I just...
Because he tries to be wacky. Him.
Yeah, like the commercials where the girls take his car and he follows them all around.
Well, it's like Jim Carrey years ago. Like, Jim Carrey did some funny movies, but in person, I couldn't fucking stand him.
Yeah. So anyway, this movie, Will Ferrell... he works at a company where they invest money for people.
Investing?
Yeah, it's investing, whatever it's called.
I tried correcting you, Craig, and I don't even know what I was trying to say.
Craig T. Nelson is the...
Coach!
Is the owner of the company, and he works for him, and he's going to get married to his daughter, who's Allison Brie.
Yeah!
And he gets signed on as partner, so they have a big celebration at his house. They have, who did they get? John Mayer to come to the party and play, and they're announcing, you know, like, oh, it's so great, you know, he's a partner now, and he's gonna get married, and all this stuff, and then the FBI comes and arrests him for, extortion, embezzlement, whatever,
yeah,
that kind of thing. And he's like, what, I didn't do any of that stuff. And then so that he goes in and they're like, you should take a plea, you'll be in jail for a year, you know, like, just take the plea and say you did it. He's like, but I didn't do it. So then they go to court and they're like, yeah, you're gonna get put in prison for 10 years. But they get him some time to prepare, like, so he's on an ankle bracelet as home before he goes to prison. And during that time, Kevin James is the guy who washes his car, and Will Ferrell thinks that he was in prison because he made some comment about, he's like, yeah, I'm going to prison for this and stuff. He's like, yeah, but you're going to go to a rich man's prison where they're not going to do anything like that. And he's like, well, I'm going to this. And he said, like, the name of it, I can't remember it. He's like, oh, that's Acerate prison. He's like, what? That's Acerate prison. He's like, oh, so you've been to prison? He's like, why would you think I've been to prison? Because I'm black? Like, and he's like, no, you seem like the kind of person. He's like, yeah, I've been to prison. Like, you just, he's like, can you teach me how I can survive in prison? And he needs money. So he's like, yeah, I'll do it. So that he's teaching Will Ferrell how to protect himself once he gets into prison, even though he has no idea what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just like making shit up, and it gets pretty humorous. Like, he tries to, he brings, I want to say his brother or something is actually in a gang. So he brings him along, and they, like, try to teach him different ways to make shivs and all this stuff. And, like, it's pretty humorous. And then toward the end of the movie, they're like, he's like, wait, you really are innocent, aren't you? He's like, yeah. Well, and then, like in a snap of a finger, they figure out who did it. So Jesus. Then, so they're like, this whole time you didn't try to figure out who framed you? Like, no. So then, like, then the rest of the movie is them trying to get evidence to mm-hmm. show that he's innocent. So it was pretty humorous. There was parts that I laughed. It wasn't amazing, but it was definitely worth watching.
I see it. I see the number.
I know, but I just realized I watched a movie and I didn't talk about it.
bullshit.
So I gave this one a 7.
Oh, okay.
Because I watched Vacation.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I don't know when I watched that. It was also an HBO movie.
Yeah, you watched it. But,
So, I'll mention it now, because I forgot that it was not even on my list. Last month I didn't say it, so it had to have been this month.
Yeah.
So, that National Lampoon's Vacation with Chevy Chase, and they go to Wally World and stuff. This was like a remake of sorts, but it's a continuation. So it's Rusty when he's older and has a family, and his wife is nagging, saying they never do anything fun and stuff. He's like, we're going to go on a road trip to Wally World, and like none of the kids want to go, and she wanted to go to France. So then he just like basically drags them along to Wally World.
That's funny.
And he's like, this is going to be better than the original Vacation. And they're like, We weren't part of the regular original Vacation. It doesn't matter. So they like they make a couple of jokes about that. Mm-hmm. But then there's a couple scenes where on the way, like, you know, stuff happens. It's a destination movie.
Yeah.
They stop at her college where they find out she was a slut and she
the mom.
Yeah, the mom was a slut and she did everything, and like she went to the sorority and they were doing like this drunk run obstacle course, and she got drunk and threw up everywhere. There's a couple scenes where like, because the main kid, his little brother is an asshole and he's constantly a dick to him, so by the end of the movie he stands up to his little brother or whatever. But the older kid keeps seeing this girl as they're like on their trip, so he's like getting a crush on her and meets her a couple times. And there's a scene where they're at a hot tub, and his dad comes and he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna, you know." In his head, he's like, "I'm gonna help him." He goes, "Hey, kid, I don't know. You're a good looking guy." He's like, "What? Why don't you take off your shirt?" I'm like,
Wow, there's a lot of fucking people in this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of cameos. So that was kind of funny. And then after the girl leaves, he's like, do I have to have the talk? He's like, no, I'm a teenager. I know the talk already. I have the internet and stuff like that. And he goes, well, if you have any questions about anything, be sure to ask me. He's like, I do have one question. All the kids are constantly talking about rim jobs. What's a rim job? And the dad like obviously has no idea. And he's like, it's when you kiss somebody with your mouth closed, because it's only the rim of your mouth that you kiss. So then, like, a couple times through the movie, they make references to the rim jobs. He goes, come on, give your dad a rim job before bed. And they're like, what? So that's pretty funny. But unlike the original Vacation, spoiler alert for both of them, the park's actually open when they get there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That one was pretty entertaining. I'd probably also give it a 7.
All right.
So then I gotta figure out.
And now, ending on a down note.
Bum, 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 bum.
One of the movies I bought at Mega Media Exchange going on a business sale was a movie that I thought I had watched.
I didn't number this. I had actually watched 10 movies this month.
Good job. It's the movie I thought I watched many years ago. I only watched half of it. So I was like, oh, it's here. I can finally finish it. Not that it was a big deal, but I like anthology movies. So, you know, like VHS or Tales from the Dark Side or like the Tales from the Crypt or Cold Horror, like where it's like a movie.
Boys in the Hood?
You have a couple different, what?
Boys in the Hood?
Never saw it. Boys in the Hood?
Yeah.
Is that a horror anthology movie?
I think so.
Are you thinking Tales from the Hood?
I am thinking Tales from the Hood.
I was like, Boys in the Hood doesn't sound like a... Because it's Tales in the Dark Side and Tales in the Hood, I think. But anyways.
Tales in the Hood.
So, Campfire Stories is... it starts with the overlapping umbrella story. Is Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny and some other guy. They're like, hey, we're going to a party in the woods. Woo, woohoo, cool. And they almost end up hitting this girl who's in the middle of the road. And they get a flat tire. They're like, fuck, we got to get to this party. How are we going to... We need some help. So they end up wandering through the woods, find this really creepy like camp ranger. He's like, oh, you kids, I'll call a tow truck. While we're sitting here, you want to hear a story? And he tells a story that is not scary and or entertaining at all. because it's about, like, for instance, the first story is about a guy. I want to fucking spoil this movie, so if you want to watch this, don't fucking bother. Well, every time, okay, anyways, so the first story is, it's like, it's about, it's like this guy who ends up escaping a mental institution because he kills the guard and then runs off, and it's like 10 years later, and the guy who escaped a mental institution, he's like a janitor at a school. Then you see a bunch of kids who are like, hey, we're cool shit. Look at us. We're the fucking football players. We're awesome. And hey, look, let's go make fun of that that janitor. Fuck him. He's stupid. And they just like throw a football at him and hit him and like start beating the shit out of him for no reason. And then when the janitor decides to get revenge on him, you're like, so okay, yeah, we're on his side. This isn't, who cares if these little kids fucking die? So he kills them all. The end of that story, I'm like, that was the dumbest fucking story. The next one is about these two guys and a girl are in this diner.
Piece of bliss. And
they see this Native American guy come in, and he's like, oh, here's, I want some coffee. And then he takes it to go, and they decide, like, we're going to follow him. Ah, Native American, whoa. But they probably call him an Indian or whatever.
Redskin.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember. It was fucking, I'm like, why are they're just following him because, and they find him smoking out of a bong by a campfire. So they beat the shit out of him and kill him because they want to rob him. So they want to rob him. So they kill him, and then they smoke the bong. They're like, oh, this is killer weed. And they just fucking have these weird-ass hallucinations. And suddenly, so like these guys are bad assholes. And suddenly, oh, bad things happen to them, where they all get old, and then the Indian guy is suddenly young. Which, there's at least a little callback, because the diner, everyone in the diner is old, except for the kids. And then you see them in the corner, and they're old, and then the young Indian American walks in, and he's like, ha ha, I'll have a coffee. I'm like, okay, fine, they got what they deserved. Not scary. The third story was about a girl.
So that's the whole point of campfire stories, is to fucking,
I know, but
kids their assholes, but so they tell them stories to scare them into being nice.
Okay, so the third one, Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is on there, and he's like, oh, I'm making out with my girlfriend. She's like, oh, I don't want to have sex yet. This is my grandma's house. She went crazy, and now she doesn't live here anymore. And she died. And you're like, okay. That seems like information we don't need to know right now. And then, so then she's like, oh, someone's outside. Someone's in the house. So there's, oh my God, I hear people out. There's someone walking around out there. He's like, there's no one out there. And then she goes inside, and her friend is in there. And like, oh, we're gonna, you know what we should do? They're always tricking us, so we should trick them. We should tell them we want to have an orgy. And they'll be like, ah, we'll get on my camera, and they'll be embarrassed. Like, this is fucking stupid plan. In the meantime, where the fuck did the boyfriends go? And then like, they dress up all slutty and stuff like that. Like, hey, check this out. Then one dies, and another one dies, and they're fucking like, okay, who was doing this? The fucking girl who didn't want to have sex, she's like, ah, these are my friends. Like, you just killed them. There's no point was made at all. I think they tried making it seem like the grandma was there killing them, but they did a shitty job. So then at the end of the story, like, oh, he's like, all right, those are the scary stories. The tow truck should be there. All right, fix the car. Let's go into this bar. They go into a bar. The Misfits, the band, is playing,
mm-hmm.
Which suddenly when I tell anyone that, they're like, I need to buy this movie. I'm like, no, it's shit. So they go into the fucking bar, and every character villain from the stories the guy told, and everyone else at the bar, including the Misfits, they all eat them. Yep, and then the girl gets out, and she's like, haha, time, she's like, hitchhiker.
I fooled ya.
And she's like, yeah, like, oh, I'm the girl from The Sopranos, guess what, haha, guess what, I planned this whole thing, haha, look at me, time to pull someone else over and get them fucked up. I gave it a 3. But, dear, like, fucking, makes me so mad. And also, apparently, Perez Hilton is in the movie as like one of the football players. But this is like 10 years before he was even famous, so he's like just an actor back then, I guess. I don't know. So the worst movie I saw this month was Campfire Stories. But it turns out Campfire Tales is the one that I started watching on IMDb. Campfire Stories is 2.9. Campfire Tales is 5.9. So it's twice as good as what I watched.
Wow.
So, yeah, the worst movie I saw was Campfire Tales with a 3. Best was Captain America Civil War with a 9.5.
Yeah, my best was also Civil War with an 8.5, and the worst movie I watched was Blackbeard with a 4.
All right, if you want to email us and tell us what you movies you watched or tell me anything.
Oh, in case I didn't say it, Freaks was in my next box set for next month.
Oh.
We talked about Freaks, but that's the start of my next box set.
Yeah.
So it was King Tut's Tomb, Merlin's Apprentice, Poseidon Adventure, Blackbeard, and Freaks were the ones on my list.
Only ones from my list were Cat People, the Freaks, and then don't listen to phone calls from strangers or whatever. Call when a stranger calls.
Don't listen to phone calls from strangers or something.
Fuck. I can't think anymore.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Do 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 do